Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new and exploring the Beloved City Church family, well, we're so glad you're here. Welcome online. Maybe you're new and exploring faith and spirituality. We're so glad that you are here with us today. And happy Pentecost Sunday. We are celebrating the anniversary of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all humanity as recorded in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. 50 days after the resurrection of Christ from the dead and his ascension into heaven, he, Jesus, promises followers saying, hey, don't worry. Remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you or abandon you. I'm sending a comforter, the Holy Spirit, which I will give in my name. He will empower you to live the life that I've designed you to live. It's so beautiful. In the accounts of the Acts of the Apostles, we see this beautifully demonstrated Holy Spirit powerfully fell on the followers of Jesus and many more who had heard Peter preach, males and females, elderly and children, rich and poor alike, Jews and Gentiles, many nationalities and all kinds of diversity. Heaven and earth collided in such a beautiful way, and that's what we're celebrating. So it's befitting that we launch this new series into this mini series over the next 4 weeks about Holy Spirit. See, we see the Holy Spirit referenced in Scripture as descending like a dove, gentle, baptizing with fire, all-consuming, a comforter who guides and corrects. You're not alone to figure out life by yourself. He is the Spirit of life in a world filled with death and evil, the voice of God cutting through the noise and the chaos, that sense of truth in a confusing and dark world. When you feel alone, lost, afraid, without hope, He is there with you. In the quiet, in the chaos, He will carry you and lead you home. The Bible actually mentions the Holy Spirit over and over again. Or for some of you, you might be more familiar with the Holy Ghost. It's not something that just the charismatic movement made up. In fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in Scripture. And even more, the Spirit of God is mentioned in the very second verse of the entire Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, this word that is translated as Spirit is found in the collection of books we call the Bible today, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. Spirit is the word ruach, which literally means a wind or a breath, but not a normal breath. It means a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. The Holy Spirit comes with power. In the New Testament, the Greek word that is translated as Spirit is the word pneuma. It means a wind, a current of air, a blast of breath. See, in the Old Testament times, the Spirit of God would actually descend upon people, and then it would often depart. For example, you and I can read very clearly in the Hebrew Bible that the Spirit of God was with King Saul, and it would leave King Saul. And the same with David, these two prominent characters in the Old Testament. When David sinned against God in an act of adultery with Bathsheba and involved in this murderous cover-up, he cried out to God, please don't take your spirit from me. In the New Testament, though, under a new covenant, once Jesus physically left the earth, he sent us his Holy Spirit under this new promise, this new covenant. And what is so beautiful is that for those who are followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will never, ever leave us, nor abandon us, nor forsake us. It's beautiful. In the New Testament, you can see the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove, a gentle way. You can see the Holy Spirit falling on the people of God at Pentecost, like I mentioned, empowering them to speak in other tongues and to do all sorts of miraculous works in the name of Jesus. You see the Holy Spirit empowering people with spiritual gifts to live a supernatural life in a very natural world that we're in. And you see the Holy Spirit producing in people the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So many people live a spiritless life. And friends, God truly wants you to live a spirit-filled and spirit-powered life instead. So if you have your Bibles today, right beside you with your friend on your phone, your pencils and a notebook, let's get ready to learn something new today or learn something about Holy Spirit. In the book of John, in the New Testament, John chapter 14 today, we are starting this new series called The Holy Spirit. As we look at the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost now, I don't know about all you, but when I was growing up, I had learned of the Holy Ghost at a young age. Yet, I've also noted throughout my short life on earth that not everyone has had a good experience with being around others that have also believed in the Holy Spirit. Some of you have probably been even kind of weirded out by what you may have witnessed and or was dubbed as the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's easier to understand God as a father. Makes sense, right? It's relatable. I have an earthly father. That makes sense to me. Or maybe even God revealed in his son, Jesus. Hey, yeah, I've even seen pictures of Jesus. You have too. Well, at least the Western Christian version. Long blonde hair, bearded, blue-eyed Jesus picture. But this Holy Ghost stuff, this Holy Spirit stuff, it just seems really weird to me. Maybe, in fact, whenever maybe you have heard about church, or maybe when I've heard about church that was way into the Holy Ghost or really about the Holy Spirit, they were usually kind of weird according to most people's opinion. Even my opinion, waving flags and running around and blowing ram's horns and falling over people in suits and ties and girls with their long hair up in buns and, of course, tambourines everywhere, right? And why are they speaking in weird languages? It just seems, well, foreign, something that might be hard for someone to understand, especially when there is limited explanation or no explanation from within that context. So if they had the Holy Ghost, well, that seemed very, very unusual and weird to many and to myself in some cases too. So it probably really isn't for me. I don't really know if I really want to do that, right? I don't want to be weird and unusual and irresistible to the world around me. Or on the flip side, though, of being weird and unusual is that outside of church or at work or at home, they seemed kind of hostile, belligerent and arrogant, and entitled. And if that is the Holy Spirit, I just don't think I want it. Which I think many of you have had similar experiences. There seems to be a real pendulum swing when it comes to the Holy Spirit in our world of faithing. In all sorts of ministries, there would be some where the pendulum swing looks like what I would call an overemphasis, a pneumocentric. Then in other places, there would be what I would call a gross underemphasis, often found in the more bibliocentric churches when it comes to the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. There are some that would actually overemphasize the Holy Spirit. Everything is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, there's Holy Spirit, everything, right? Holy Ghost, come. And if something odd happens in their day, like maybe a book falling off a ledge or something, they're like, they might say, I bind you, demon of book falling. Holy Ghost, get these demons out of there, right? An overemphasis. Holy Ghost, everything, everywhere. Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit said this. And the Holy Spirit does speak. But what is probably a far more common problem, though, is the underemphasis. We seem to understand God as Father and God revealed through his son, Jesus. And then there's just that other one, the one we don't talk about, or it's kind of mysterious, kind of like a weird Aunt Edie, but that nobody wants to bring up at the family dinner table, right? It's, I don't understand it. I know there is a Godhead. What we might hear is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And I know there is a Holy Spirit. We read in the Bible, you can't miss it. The Bible's full of talking about the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. But when you think about the Holy Spirit, we tend to let it be for those weird people over there, or only for them first century Jesus followers and not for us. It's an overemphasis or an underemphasis, right? So what we would like to do over the next few weeks is to unpack and help you to get a biblical understanding on who exactly is the Holy Spirit and what role does the Holy Spirit play in the life of the believer. So let's start in John. I already mentioned John chapter 14, and we're going to look at some of the words of Jesus today to build a foundational understanding. And I'm praying that within the next few weeks that we would all grow to know even more intimately the presence of the living God. That's what we're talking about, the presence of the Holy Spirit and his power through his Holy Spirit. So John chapter 14, verse 16 says, and this is in the words of Jesus, as he was comforting his disciples, explaining that he was going to go away, build mansions for them in heaven, but he was going to send someone that would be even better than him. And he said this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you. Not for a little while, he will be with you forever. So who is this counselor? Verse 17 shows us the counselor is the Holy Spirit. He calls the counselor the Spirit of Truth. Then scripture says, and this might relate to you, the world cannot accept him, the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Which is kind of where I've been, and some of you might be are in this moment, skeptical, not sure about that whole Spirit thing, or if that's the Holy Spirit, I don't understand that. This Holy Ghost stuff, I don't know him, I can't really see him, so therefore I just won't accept him. But Jesus goes on to say, but you know him, for he lives with you. And then Jesus gives this amazing promise, he will be in you, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. You know him and he will be with you and he will be in you. Beautiful. Now, what is interesting to me is, first of all, the Holy Spirit is not and it, friends. Sometimes people will say, well, it's leading me to do something. Yet Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him, very literally, God in spirit form. So when you read about the Holy Spirit in scripture, you find that you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit is, as God in spirit form, has emotions. The Bible says the Holy Spirit loves you, and Jesus says, I'm going to go away and I send the Spirit to be within you. And he calls him a counselor, which comes from the Greek word parakletos, or the root word is the word paraklete. It comes from two words, para, which means alongside of, like paralegal, to come alongside, or maybe like a parachurch, not at church, but to come alongside the church. And kletos comes from the Greek word kaleo, which means called. Very literally, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is the one who's called alongside of or to be inside of the believer in Jesus. So here, who is the parakletos? Literally, the word can be translated as an intercessor. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the one who intercedes or prays for you. He's also your counselor. The Holy Spirit is your advocate before God. He is your comforter. He is your helper. The parakletos, God in spirit form, who is called alongside of you, living inside of you to be your comforter, to be your counselor, to be your intercessor, to be your helper, your guide, very literally to be your friend. Now, maybe when you think of the choice between having Jesus in the flesh or the Holy Spirit with you, your first thought might be, man, I'm going to take Jesus in the physical with me now. Now imagine this. Imagine if Jesus were walking alongside you in physical form on earth today. That'd be pretty cool, right? Think about it. You got a headache and you're like, Jesus, my head hurts. Poof, your headache's gone. And maybe you're like, Jesus, I'm hungry. And poof, you got a cheeseburger. He could do that, right? Jesus in the flesh. Amazing. That just might seem like the best thing ever. But Jesus is showing us that there's actually something that is better for us than him in the flesh with us. And it's this amazing promise that he says in John 16 and 7. He says, it's actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, Parakletos, the helper, the intercessor, the counselor, the advocate, the comforter, the Holy Spirit counselor won't come if I do not go away. He will come because I will send him to you if I go away. Right? It's actually best for you, Jesus says, if I'm not here, but instead the Holy Spirit comes, who will dwell within you and will never leave you or forsake you. God's literal presence with us. And this, friends, is amazing. Jesus can go because we want the Holy Spirit to live, the very spirit and the mind and character of Christ in us. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, this week we are looking at what the Holy Spirit does within the believer, right? Holy Spirit in you. And the next week we'll explore the power of the Holy Spirit working through you to equip you to live a supernatural life in this very natural world. Now, the Holy Spirit, he gives you spiritual gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, the gift of speaking in other tongues. The Holy Spirit gives you supernatural spiritual fruit whenever the world is going crazy, which we all know it actually is or feels like. Anyways, you can still have and walk in the very fruits of the Spirit with love, like I mentioned, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Yet, when you look today at Christians around the world, what you so often see is believers in Jesus, but people who look no different from the rest of the world. Not so set apart like we learned in our last series. They're still bound in chains and spiritual prisons to the same sin as other people. You see Christians whose prayer lives are absolutely flat or non-existent, right? You see people who are afraid and struggling and gripped by fear and worry and anxiety. We believe in Jesus, yet our lives have no real power. Why is that? Well, because friends, so many Jesus-y people today are living what one might call a spirit-less life. But God wants his children to live a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered, spirit-led, spirit-equipped life of victory, set apart and pleasing to our Heavenly Father. So why is it that so many people today are living a spirit-less life? Great question. I believe there are many reasons, but let's just look at a couple of them today, right? The first one, if you're taking notes, is this. Some people aren't even aware of the Holy Spirit. Many of you might say, I've heard of this Holy Spirit, but I don't really know what he does. You know, it's kind of like I was a kid and that was kind of weird. And I know there's this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that's just about the extent of it. See, in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 3, it's another really interesting story that might relate to this circumstance that we also find ourselves in today. Scripture says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through this interior and arrived at Ephesus, and there he found some disciples, those who were believers in Jesus, right? And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? obviously these people were not at Pentecost when the Spirit came. They were baptized by John the Baptist. If you read on, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And the answer, no, we have not even heard of such a thing as the Holy Spirit. We heard about Jesus. We knew John the Baptist, but who is the Holy Spirit? We don't know anything about him. And there are many of you here or listening today who would be in a very similar place. We have heard about him, but that's just about it. Or you might say, well, who is the Holy Spirit? I don't understand anything about him. Friends, there is a whole other world of power that is available to Jesus followers through the Holy Spirit. A lot of people just don't know about it. Here, a story for me. It reminds me of when I was younger, I had this vision, this great vision. My wife, Angela, she didn't really like my vision very much, but you know, here we go, right? I had a great vision of building a hot rod out of this old 1972 Volkswagen Beetle. I can still think of it today. I got it cheap, even had to have it trailered to my house. It was so cheap. There was a good reason it was cheap, right? It didn't run. It had an engine, but it did not work. So no problem. I'm going to overhaul this thing and have it rumbling like any other hot rod out there. Man, I had dreams for this. I started working on the engine a bit. Months go by. We moved and we moved the Beetle and then we moved again and we moved the Beetle again. And well, Pastor Angela, she said she wasn't very fond of my idea after moving it on the second time, sitting in the garage, stinking the place up. But hey, I remember sitting in that Beetle. It didn't even have seats. So I had a plastic chair that I put in the future driver seat where the future driver's seat would go, and I would push the clutch in and throw the gear shift around a little bit. I was dreaming and I had this vision, oh, this is gonna be beautiful, I can't wait. But I was going nowhere, right? There was no power to turn the wheels. I was standing still. That Beetle, I tell you, as much as I was disappointed then, not so much anymore. The Beetle went the way of the dinosaur. Unfortunately, I never did get my hot rod, still to this day. Who knows? Anyway, Christians all over the world are going through life without this power, without this victory, without the strength. And yet on the other side of that overhaul, of that response to receive, there's a spiritual power from God in heaven that is greater than you could ever imagine. The very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is available to every believer. He will fill you and direct you and nudge you and comfort you and guide you, counsel you, convict you, empower you. And it's still available today. See, there's a movement that has been amongst Christianity over the past few decades, namely cessationism. And cessationism is a doctrine that teaches that spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues and prophecy and healing has ceased along with the apostolic age. Reformers such as John Calvin originated this view. Fortunately though for you and I, and unfortunately for John Calvin, it frankly is just unbiblical and untrue. It's grossly unbiblical actually. Yet what is true is that so many people are still living in this posture or this spirit-less life because they are unaware of the power and the presence of God, the very Holy Spirit. Why are so many people living a spirit-less life? Many are just simply unaware. Here's the second reason why many people are living in a spiritless life. If you're taking notes again, write this down. Some people are simply resisting the Holy Spirit. That would be many of us and many of you listening today. The Holy Spirit has prompted you. And if you're a believer, has led you to do something. And maybe you have said similarly, well, I just don't really want to do that. Many Christians and possibly even some of you listening have been going about your day and you're just about to do something that is not right. And the Holy Spirit convicts you and prompts you and saying, don't do that. That is the wrong thing, the wrong path, wrong magazine, wrong website. But you say, well, I want to. So what are we doing? We are pushing the Holy Spirit away. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something good and give something to bless someone else or to be the first to apologize. And maybe this is you and you push that away and say, I don't really feel like, I don't want to do that, right? What you're doing is you're resisting the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when you resist the Spirit for long, your heart actually becomes hardened and to the gentle promptings of the Holy Spirit, we can become deaf to the Holy Spirit. Stephen, in the scriptures, who we find in the New Testament, a young and courageous and bold believer, was giving the Sanhedrin, this council, the religious people of the city, a bit of a chewing out one day, right before they stoned him to death, actually. And this is what he said to them. He said this in Acts 7 and 51. He said, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. That would have been a pretty big cut down back in those days. Then he says, you are just like your forefathers. You always do what? He says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. See, some of you may say, well, I'm not sure the Holy Spirit really prompts me or moves me or speaks to me. It could be that you've resisted the Holy Spirit so often that your heart has become hard. I continue to learn, and I want you to continue to learn through your failures to try very hard in your life to not resist the Holy Spirit. When I feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting me, I've had people who will ask Chris, Pastor Chris, how do you know if it's the Holy Spirit prompting you versus your own thoughts? And I think it's a great question. I'd say, because here's what we are as humans, we're selfish in nature. And so if there's something that's benefiting you and I tend to think that it's probably me, it's my own thoughts. If it benefits me, it's probably just me talking. If there's something that doesn't benefit me and it benefits others and might bring glory to God, then I just make the assumption that this is the Holy Spirit talking to me. If I'm being prompted or convicted not to do something that I really know is wrong, well, I assume that is the Holy Spirit. If I'm feeling led to do something that is going to be a blessing to others, I just assume that it's the Holy Spirit that's leading me and guiding me. If it's not, well, I did something good. What's the worst thing that could happen? That I did something good? No. And so if it's blessings to others, I will tend to assume that it's the Holy Spirit ministering to me to do something unto others. A good example is this. Often I will feel in my life, I will feel an immense burden for somebody. It means my heart just feels heavy for someone specifically. And I know now that when someone's name or face comes to my mind and I feel that gripping on my heart, I act and I will reach out by sending a text or making a phone call, a spiritual burden to call. And often it has been so timely that I made that call or sent that text or met up with that someone. I felt this burden to call despite it being late, or maybe I'm busy and maybe they're busy. We make all kinds of excuses. But when you listen for the Holy Spirit, He will lead you and prompt you beyond what you might feel is even rational, friends. So I've learned just to be obedient, to listen, to respond, and act. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that leads. It's not something that you and I can manufacture. The Holy Spirit's speaking to us, nudging us, prompting us, and we can respond. Some may call it intuition or coincidence. I do know this, that it's not something that is human. That it is the Spirit of God speaking into me. And I'm so thankful every time I get the opportunity, the chance to obey the Holy Spirit. Friends, nurture a listening ear for the Holy Spirit in your life. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. And one of the best ways to do so is to get into your Bible and to pray as you're reading scripture. Wow, you can actually hear the voice of God speak to you. That is what far too many people do, is resist the Holy Spirit. So do not resist the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit leads you to not do something and you are, but I really want to do that. The Holy Spirit prompts you to do something. I want to do that. And you resist the Holy Spirit. Well, you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit and your heart will and can become hardened. Holy Spirit's not going to push Himself on you, as the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's given you free will choice and He respects that, right? A gentleman. He will not push Himself on you. If you resist Him long enough, your heart might grow so hard that you no longer recognize the promptings of the Spirit of God. That's my caution to us today. Why are so many people today living a spiritless life? Some are just plainly not aware. And others have become so skilled at resisting the Holy Spirit. So for the next few minutes, as I close today, I want to briefly share about three different ways the Spirit will minister to us. The first way, if you're taking notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit, He will comfort you. The Holy Spirit's called a comforter, and He will comfort you when you are hurting. Here's what scripture says in John chapter 14, verse 16. It's the King James Version. This time translates Paracletos this way. And I, Jesus, says, will pray to the Father, and He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. This is the presence of the living God, the Holy Spirit. And here's what is amazing to me, is there are those of you here now in the room listening and listening online, there will be those of you going through very difficult things in this season that you're right now. And yet I can promise you that many of you at this moment will sense, because He is here, that you will sense the presence of the living God, the Holy Spirit. Even though you are hurting, you can sense His comfort. He can and will comfort you with a peace that goes beyond your human reasoning and understanding. It is the comforting presence of the Holy God, the Holy Spirit. Now, the second way is this. The Holy Spirit will counsel you. He is your counselor. He is your guide. And if you don't know what to do, He can direct you. Scripture says it this way in John 16 and 13. Jesus says, but He, the Spirit of truth, comes and He will guide you into all truth. You don't know what to do? And so what do? You just start praying, and the Holy Spirit can and will give you direction. He can and will give you wisdom. He can and will give you discernment. God can and will work in our lives through the constant presence of the Holy Spirit when we surrender and allow Him to. Those who are aware of the Spirit's presence and voice, you can go through a day knowing that the Spirit is with you. Every day that you're existing, you know, God is with me. He's guiding me. Oh, reach out to that person. Pray for that person. Right now, make this decision. Don't say what you're about to say. That would not please God. You hear these promptings in your day. It's a constant awareness of the Spirit of God guiding you. It's this Spirit-filled life. It's not walking by sight, but walking by faith. The Holy Spirit is with you and guiding you. He is your counselor. Now, I love this picture in Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 30 and 21, where it says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Wow, the voice of the Spirit, he will comfort you, he will counsel you. Now, the third way is he will convict you. John 16 and 8, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In fact, even today, there are those of you who are being convicted by the Spirit of God. Maybe there's something going on in your life that's not as it should be, and all of a sudden you are feeling the sense of, I really shouldn't be doing that. I haven't even mentioned what it is, but you are convicted. Why? That is the presence of the Holy Spirit convicting you. There are others of you that you are being drawn to God right now, and you don't know why. Maybe you're not even a churchy kind of person or a Bible-thumping guy or girl, but you're feeling drawn to God right now. That is the Holy Spirit convicting you of your need for God. Most often in my life, it's not a physical person nudging me or witnessing to me or convincing me, nor opening up scripture to me, but there is the presence of the Holy Spirit convicting me of my sin, of my faults and my shame, of my attitudes and passions and motivations, even my rhythms. I feel drawn supernaturally to open up the scripture and to read and to ask God to speak to me. And I pray, surrendering my daily life to God. And the beautiful thing is, there are those of you here today listening, you might be under that same similar conviction. You are being drawn to God and you don't even know why. It's because the Holy Spirit is here in this moment and you have a choice. You can surrender to him or you can resist him and fight him off. But let me warn you, friends, don't fight him for long, because your heart, you don't want it to grow hard to the gentle voice and nudging and love and wooing of the Spirit of God that wants to draw you to himself, this loving relationship. God, our Father in creation, gave us Jesus, who lived a sinless life, died and rose again so you could know him intimately, be empowered by him through the Holy Spirit, and to live a life that would honor and please and glorify God. Father, we thank you. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work that goes beyond any words of explanation that I have, that your Holy Spirit would be present. He is present. We acknowledge him even right now. We acknowledge your presence in this room, and we ask you to do a work in our hearts that only you can do. Oh man, and as you're praying just for this next few moments, some of you are going to recognize right now that you are doing life apart from the Spirit of God. You may be a believer in Jesus. You may even go to church. You may even know some of this spiritual stuff that I'm talking about, but you look at your life and say, I just don't see spiritual power. Really, I do. I believe in this stuff, but I just don't see it. And I want a more Spirit-filled life. Would you just, in this moment, just raise your hands to God and say, Lord, I need you. Would you, Holy Spirit, come and fill my life? Release my control, my grip on life, and say, God, I give it to you. It's all yours. God, I thank you for your spiritual hunger in our church and in our spiritual family. And I pray, Jesus, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that in the weeks to come, as we seek you and seek your Holy Spirit, as we get to know you, that we would totally be filled with your Spirit, that we would know your presence, God, that we would be aware of your guidance and your comfort in our lives, that we would experience your prompting, God, that you are helping us and that you are praying for us, Holy Spirit, that I pray that we would not go through this life on our own power, that we would know the supernatural power and the presence of your Spirit. Fill each of us, oh God, today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we could live a life that you would bring glory, that would bring glory and honor to you. In this moment, we believe, God, you are doing that, and we thank you for how it will impact our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, we love you so much, Lord. Amen. Friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you'd like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow, go public. I'm following Jesus. I'm all in by being baptized just like Jesus commanded. He who believes in me and is baptized shall be saved. Let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. Get baptized. It's an awesome step to take. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity, both in us and in others around. Will you take a step to partner with us at Beloved City Church to help us grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church? Here's a couple ways. Join our Big Table family, make it official, sign up for the next Family Discovery Night, discover what it means to be a part of the family of the Beloved City Church. Another one, join the Grow team and help serve back into those tables. This big table family, work alongside a team here at Beloved. Let's make an impact together, doing life and ministry together. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider how to worship God and partner with Beloved City Church with your finances by giving at Beloved City Church. Help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city with your time, your treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way. We can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life today. In Jesus' name, God bless you.